When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You know, the Bears news today, they have minicamp going on at Halas Hall, and they have quite a few participants. Eddie Goldman not there. He wasn't excused. That's news to take away from what we heard from Matt Nagy today. But really, the main storyline, the main news that we got out of today's practice and media availability to the head coach of the Chicago Bears was when Sylvie from Waddle and Sylvie got to jump on the Zoom call. He took time out of the show today to go participate in the reporter Zoom call with Matt Nagy. He asked questions to Matt Nagy, and the news to come out of the press conference is that Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the NFL draft, the future quarterback of the franchise, hopefully the savior of the franchise, has already been told he is not allowed to win the starting job in training camp as the quarterback number one for the Chicago Bears. And so, okay, so we'll hear from Matt Nagy in just a second. But, like, if we just get into this conversation, Abdallah, and we look at this situation, any football team, if you tell me players on the team are not allowed to compete for the starting gig, that to me is a flawed logic when you look at trying to put together a team that's trying to win a championship. Like, to me, this is the same type of losing mentality that they tried to operate with coddling Mitchell Trubisky, right? Trubisky was coddled the entire time. He was gifted the job, and then he was never actually pushed. And then they got into a situation where when he was up against it in the regular season or in big spots, he wasn't able to come through. To me, you run a football team with this idea. Every position's open. How many players in the National Football League are guaranteed that they're going to have their starting gig for years on end going forward? Six?
Entire National Football League?
Like Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Aaron Donald?
There's more.
Are there really?
I would say there's like two or three per team.
You're telling me
Khalil Mack's not guaranteed his spot his entire time here.
Khalil Mack can be in that grouping.
Hicks is guaranteed. Eddie Goldman,
At a certain point, a guy like Akeem Hicks.
Allen Robinson's not guaranteed his starting spot.
You're misreading what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that at some point there is competition. And that player, the Akeem Hicks, the Allen Robinsons, will come through and they will perform and they will get the starting gig. They're not allowed to. Andy Dalton is just guaranteed you're the starter. Justin Fields is not allowed to compete for the starting gig. No matter how great he is in training camp, we are being predetermined up front that Justin Fields is not allowed to start. That, to me, is not the way you build a winning culture. The way you build a winning culture is the best player plays, no matter who it is, and when it happens. And so, like, I get it. Even though Andy Dalton may come in with more experience, I don't understand this idea and this logic to tell Justin Fields that he's not even allowed to compete for the gig. That, to me, is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to me because it seems like a defeatist attitude to go in and just tell the dude you traded up for and drafted in the first round that, hey, guess what? You're not starting, regardless. The guy who put up six touchdowns against Clemson, the guy who faced Alabama in the national championship, the guy who's played on, you know, Big Saturday on Fox week in and week out when they could play this season due to COVID protocols and all that kind of stuff because the Big Ten started super late this year. It's weird to me that you would just automatically say, no, this is what we're doing. Like, you can't even have a competition. Like, you can't even say, hey, we're going to have, you know, yeah, we told Andy he was our starter and then the draft board played out the way it did and we had a chance to go up and get Justin Fields and now we're going to have a competition because competition brings out the best. And you can't tell me that you're going to have players like Allen Robinson, like Darnell Mooney, all these guys on the offense that see how the offense flows with Justin Fields and how it moves a lot better with Justin Fields. And then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? Andy Dalton's our starter. Like, you can't. It just seems like they're trying to go so hard with the Kansas City Chiefs plan. And yeah, that might have worked for the Kansas City Chiefs, but this is different. Each situation is different. You know, I'm not saying that Justin Fields is going to be better than Patrick Mahomes or that he's not going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes, but this isn't Mitchell Trubisky. Like, this isn't a guy who could barely get the starting gig when he was at North Carolina until his senior year. And then no one thought he would be, I mean, we all didn't think he would be drafted that high. And then you're like, okay, well, who is this guy? I've never even seen this guy play before. This is a guy who was underneath the brightest lights on the biggest stage, that he's ready. Now, if you're telling me he doesn't get the playbook yet and he's got problems calling the plays in the huddle and that kind of thing, we're only in June. It's June 15th. We are literally midway through June. You can't tell me that this dude won't be ready at the end of July when we get into the preseason, when we get to September and games start happening. If that's the issue, then fine. If it's he's just not getting the playbook and he's not getting it, then fine. But you can't tell me that Andy Dalton is going to be better at running the offense than Justin Fields when they're both ready. Like, when Fields is ready, he's going to be better than Andy Dalton.
Have the 49ers announced that Trey Lance is not allowed to compete for the starting gig for the San Francisco 49ers?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. Same Mac Jones. Has Mac Jones been told by Bill Belichick and the Patriots he's not allowed to compete for the starting gig?
Not that I've seen.
I know Zach Wilson with the Jets, he's going to be their guy. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence, the same in Jacksonville. To me, it's just, if any other team in the National Football League kind of said this, if you and I saw a story from Pro Football Focus or on ESPN.com, we saw this story and we're reading and we're going, the Raiders have told their number one draft selection, he's not allowed to compete for the gig. You and I would be roasting John Gruden.
Oh, absolutely.
We'd be roasting the Raiders.
Listen, I deal with this.
If it was any other team, we'd be roasting them.
I deal with this every single year with Alabama, right? Nick Saban's the best coach in college football. He might be the best all-time college football coach, right? In the year it was Tua or Jalen, everybody knew it was going to be Tua. I was sitting here telling everybody, to you, Jonathan Hood, during Chicago's college tailgate, it's going to be Tua. Tua's going to start. But what did Nick Saban say week in and week out? It's a competition. Whoever wins the team. Tua's a ton better, but it's whoever wins the team. Why can't it just be whoever wins the team? Why can't it just be whoever is better at the end of the preseason starts?
What are they so worried about?
I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? I understand that they want to tell Dalton that he's the starter because right now he's the starter. But to assume that nothing is going to happen, I think, is naive. You laid it all out. You laid out the credentials for Justin Fields. We've all been very excited about this selection. We watched him in college. He's the real deal. Now, will he step in day one and be a complete difference maker? I don't know. We don't have that answer. But I think it's just... It's short-sighted to assume at no point in training camp that Fields is going to pop and he's going to show a little something extra that Andy Dalton can't bring to the table.
He could have his Neo moment. All of a sudden, he's out there one day. The game slows down. He's stopping things. He's been moving things with his mind, and he becomes the one. Why can't that just happen? But no, now it's going to be, maybe it's Nagy just trying to get rid of the questions the entire training camp. Like, that could be it.
But then it's going to make him look bad. If Justin Fields comes out and blows people away when the media can watch practice, and they're like, what are the Bears doing? Anyway, Matt Nagy, like, clearly, okay, you're not in the hot seat. Mm-hmm. Second of all, do you even want to win this year? If the Bear player is being told he can't even compete for the starting gig, and we're seeing it with our eyes, doesn't that make them look bad? Like, I don't know who said it. Someone in the Twitch chat earlier today said this. Like, isn't it kind of an indictment on the coaching staff that they don't even feel confident enough to get this player ready to play by the time we get to week one?
He was the quarterback in the national championship game, one of two quarterbacks in the national championship game. I mean, what are we doing here?
312-332-3776. Mick Roberts in Seven Bridges. What's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, props to you guys because I've been historically a football season listener, but here we are. I'm here for it.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm sort of not, but at the beginning of Wild and Sylvie, this guy called and he said about pitch framing is like almost cheating. And I'm like, man, first off, the strike zone is like a three-dimensional prism that's floating above the plate based on the height of the batter and the width of the plate. It's a seven-sided figure. If any part of the ball crosses any part of that prism, it should be a strike, not just the front of the plate, like inside or outside. And the catcher is receiving the ball 4 to 6 inches, if not more, behind where that strike zone is because he can't reach in there and grab it.
Sure.
So by the time he gets the ball, it's not in the same place where it crossed the strike zone. So that guy is like, so aside from just the strike zone and the pitch framing, like flopping to me is more egregious in baseball. It's like worse for the integrity of the sport in that sense. Then this other guy called and he's saying that we need to cut the pitchers a break. I'm like, dude, good pitching is always going to beat good hitting in the first place. Randy Johnson said that in like 1990-something. I'm so heated. But like, if we take away the pitch framing, just let him have it. It's just a skill. It's not cheating. That's what's assisting the pitchers.
Right.
Take away the sticky stuff. Take away the steroids. Pitchers are already winning 7 out of 10 times. And if we go to robot umpires and start letting them decide what balls and strikes are, they're just going to start making all the calls. So we can't do that either.
But Roberts, let me ask you this question. Right. Liam Hendricks earlier, I believe it was during the weekend, said that he would like Major League Baseball to come out with a substance like pine tar that they can use on the baseball.
I think Greeny was saying that today too, or Carmen.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, look, if the batters can use pine tar and can use gloves and everything, and like wide receivers in the NFL.
Sylvie said that too. Should the batters be able to use that pine tar? I mean, they already have the gloves. But as long as they're all using the same stuff too, then I guess
it's fine. If you're using it, just baseball, Major League Baseball should provide something for pitchers and say, hey, this is what you get to use. Like, you get to use this stuff, this amount of stuff.
I agree with you guys on that.
All right.
Baseball's really drunk. I mean, it just can't find its way home.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, McRoberts. Appreciate it. It's McRoberts. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. White Sox and the Rays tonight at Guaranteed Rate Field. The White Sox lose last night 5-2 to the Rays, looking to bounce back tonight with Dallas Keuchel on the mound. And Black Abdallah, we'll be there. We're going to the game.
Hey,
I'm looking forward to it.
I haven't gone to a game. I know you called some UIC games, so you were at games, but I haven't been to a sporting event since you and I went to the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, and it was at the United Center.
Yeah, over a year ago.
I haven't been to a gathering of people
yeah.
of mass like this. Well, Nashville doesn't count, but I guess it kind of counts. I haven't been to a sporting event since and I'm quite hyped to go to this game tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good time. We'll see if the White Sox can bounce back. And we're also talking about Justin Fields being told by Matt Nagy and the Bears organization he cannot compete for the number one job. If you have thoughts on that, you can call us at 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
So the Chicago Bears, they have practice today. It's mini camp for the veterans with the Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy met the media after practice today. And Mark Silverman, host of Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6 right here on ESPN 1000. Sylvie had a question for Matt Nagy. And last week, he jumped on the Zoom call with all the Bears reporters. And the Bears iced him out. They shut him out.
Yeah.
Well, Isaiah Michael situation. Well, the Bears didn't let him ask his question last
today,
week.
And today... 7 questions in, 10 questions in, 11 questions in, and then finally you get the 2 questions left. It'll be Colleen Kane and Mark Silverman.
Oh, so Sylvie gets called upon.
The last question.
Last question. For Matt Nagy today on his Zoom call, his press conference, here's Sylvie.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my question. Hope the family's well. I've got a follow-up question for you after this as well. Been wanting to know, did anyone in the organization ever promise Andy Dalton that he would be the starting quarterback on opening day of the regular season?
No, Mark. I'd say promises are, as we all know, promises can get pretty crazy. But what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows. That's what Nick knows. You know, the rest of our coaches. And we tell these guys, knowing that there's got to be a start, right? So that's where we're at. And now they go ahead and all three of them are going to be the best quarterback they can be. And then that gets into that plan, that we keep talking about. And it takes a little bit of time. But to answer your first question, there was no promises, but we told him, and I specifically told him, you're our starter, you know? So that's that. And now when you're in Andy's role, when you're in Justin's role, when you're in Nick's role, they know their roles, and now it's their job to be able to be the best quarterback they can be. But I'll just be very clear. That being said, does that mean that these guys aren't competing? Absolutely not. They're competing. Like, they want to be the best. And so, and they wouldn't want their they wouldn't want each other to not be any different. So, or to be any different. So, you know, that's the answer to that.
And based on that, we played your answer from Chris Collinsworth's podcast today, where you said that Andy Dalton is the starter. So we wanted clarification whether or not that means that Justin Fields cannot win the job.
Whether it's clarification that he can't win it, yes, correct. Andy Dalton is our starter. And when we go through this process, there, like I said today, just calling a play in the huddle, and that gets to the instant gratification part that we all want, right? I understand that. Andy understands that. Justin understands it. Nick understands it. Our coaches understand that we all get excited about Justin Fields. You know, we'd all be lying if we said something different. But that said, we're excited about Andy Dalton too. And we know that if we stick to this plan that we have, that everything's going to be just fine.
And it'll be
great. That's where like these type of questions or being able to explain as we go, because let's face it, when you go through OTAs, when you go through training camp, you go through preseason, the only goal that we have is to put the best quarterback out there. And Andy Dalton is our starter. Justin's our number two and Nick's our number three. And we're going to play that out and make sure that they're all competing, you know, and that's as simple as that.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
No problem.
So that was Matt Nagy earlier today at Hallis Hall on Zoom. Sylvie jumped on the Zoom during the show. He asked the question, and you heard the answer there from Matt Nagy. Clarification, he can't win it? Yes, correct. That, to me, I don't get that. And, okay, they have a plan, and that's what they're going to do. I think if any other young quarterback in any other team would be saying this, A, it's going to be national news. I have a feeling that all the talking heads tomorrow are going to be all about what was just said on that. And I think also it's nonsense. I think you would roast it for no matter who the team is to say guy can't even compete to start, I think it is a bad way to kind of get this going.
You and I have talked about this for years now, really ever since the Bears got Khalil Mack. You have a window. You accelerated the window of this team, the process of this team being a Super Bowl caliber team. If this team has a quarterback and the offense becomes top 15, top 10, they're a playoff team, one. Two, they could probably make some noise, do some damage, whatever cliche you want to use. You have a chance. When in the NFL, you have a chance every single Sunday, especially in the playoffs. So if we get down to it and Andy Dalton starts, they lose to the Rams. They're not going to lose to the Bengals, I don't think, no matter who the quarterback is, but you never know. But let's say they start the season 1-3 or something like that. They miss the playoffs by a couple games. We're going to look back and say, what the hell are we doing? Like, why, if you have a guy who's ready to go, and you and I have talked about it before, like, this kid is smart. He tested highest on the aptitude test out of all the college athletes that took this test. A few thousand of them took it or whatever, a few hundred of them took it or whatever. And he led a Ryan Day offense. You can't tell me that a Bears offense and what Nagy's calling is that much more complicated than what Ryan Day was running.
I understand all of the stuff that goes into a quarterback who's young, who doesn't have it yet, who's not prepared, who's not, or maybe not even prepared, but just not ready for the moment. I just don't get telling him he can't be ready. Like, that's the thing that rubs me the wrong way. And as a Bears fan, I just think it's, they're like Matt Nagy and this team, they're constantly trying to tell you the right thing, even though they know in the back of their mind something else may be happening. Or, like, I don't care who they told, when they told is the starter. Like, why would you even limit that no competition?
I have no idea.
The best teams compete. Like, that's what football is, the one sport where really, that's why I said when we start, I said there's like six players in the entire National Football League that are guaranteed each and every year to have their starting gig. Because it's so finite. The amount of time someone has to be in their prime in the National Football League is so thin. That amount of time is so small. And like, and we don't know from year to year. Most quarterbacks, they have a longer life expectancy than other positions. But when you really look at the other positions, a guy could be a great safety one year, the next year completely fall off the table. There is no guarantee. The only guarantee in the National Football League is competition. And the fact that they're heading into this, whatever their plan is, but publicly acknowledging that the competition aspect of this has been removed,
nope.
I think is crazy. You can have whatever plan you want, and you can have the idea that Fields won't start, but why are you saying that publicly? That to me is crazy.
I hope that this isn't one of two things. I hope it's not Nagy just trying to get the media to shut up about it and stop asking him questions about Fields, and he doesn't want to deal with this throughout every mini camp from here until training camp, and then throughout training camp, he just doesn't want to deal with it, because that's your job. You're the head coach of the football team. It's your job to deal with the media, part of it, and part of it is also to deal with the competition, and this is what happens when you trade up and trade next year's picks and move up for a guy who, a Heisman candidate quarterback who was in the national championship game. That's what happens. Second of all, I hope this isn't some weird coach tactic to try to light a fire underneath Justin Fields.
I don't
think you need to light the fire. No. The fire's lit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to say.
I think there's a chip there. He wants to prove people wrong.
Just saying that there's a competition should be enough. Not saying, well, you can't do it, kid. Sorry.
Right.
I was trying to motivate him. Because to me, that's dumb, too.
It's pretty amazing, though, but that's the news out of House Hall today. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. White Sox baseball coming up in 4 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight has the pregame show, and then Len Casper and Darren Jackson have the call of the game just after 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. We're heading out to the game, so I'm looking forward to that. At the end of each Bleck and Abdallah show, we like to bring to you the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
Tonight we go to 2009, Vampire Weekend. Cousins is your Song of the Night. Like a little mixed review from our death metal from last night.
Yeah, some people can't handle the heaviness. It's okay. Love Vampire Weekend. They're great. This is early Vampire Weekend, their second album, Contra. So this is still with Rostam, who's there, who's now doing his own solo thing. They have a new guitarist now. Rostam just put out a solo album a few weeks ago. It's actually really good. If you like this type of Vampire Weekend, it's actually really good.
Yacht Rocky?
Yeah.
Yacht Rocky.
The newer Vampire Weekend is very Grateful Dead-y.
Really?
Like, I've seen Vampire Weekend a few times. I saw them during Lollapalooza after show. And
you
then
big
I just
Ezra
saw them.
Fan?
Oh, he's great. I love him. He's so good. He's so talented. But I went to see them at their last show in Northerly Island, and they're like the Dead now. Like, he said that the Dead, like, heavily influenced the new album, and, like, their tours, their people follow them around like they're the Dead. It's all tie-dyed and BS, and, like, it's... They do long, drawn-out jams through some of their songs. Like, 8-Minute Cape Cod is like a joke that goes around the Vampire Weekend community.
They have a community?
Oh, yeah, they do, dude.
Just so you know, Abdallah, the Twitch chat, ESPN 1000 Chicago, not a big fan of the Vampire Weekend selection for Song of the Night tonight.
They can kick rocks and wait until tomorrow. That's why we do 5 of them a week.
Don't tell them the kick rocks. Those are
our
people.
Well, I mean, look, you're not going to like every song that we pick. We pick 5 a week, for God's sake. We try to spray to all fields when it comes to all musical
things. This is kind of like a palate cleanser from the death metal last night.
Yeah, I like Vampire. There's nothing wrong with a little Vampire Weekend when it's nice outside. We could have played A-Punk 4 times, which is what they've done at concerts before. Or we could have played Holiday, which is in every commercial about going on a vacation. This is good music. This is talented, good music.
I think this is one of those songs that Len and Connor and Darren that they'll enjoy. It's your song of the night.
I think Len is a big Vampire Weekend.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
All right, Abdallah, we're going on out to Guaranteed Rate Field to watch the White Sox and the Rays. All right, Connor McKnight's coming up next with your White Sox pregame show. Then Len Casper and Darren Jackson with the call of the game. Coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.